Thank God that you are spending your Sunday worshiping with us today. Got a couple of things I want to just remind you of. If you're a visitor with us this morning and we have not got record of your presence with us, we'd love for the seat in front of you has a blue slip there that we would love to hear from you and know that you were here. Even if you've been coming some and have never let us know who you are, we would. It's not too late to do that. And there's a box on there if you'd like to be part of our email list. You can check that box. And also, a couple of things I want to remind you. Our Turkey Tuesday is coming up here in a couple of weeks. And if you would like to sponsor a turkey, and you're not talking about the pastor here, but if you would like to purchase a turkey to help pass those out, they're $15 each, and you can mark a check to or make a check to the church, and then mark it turkeys, and just turn that in, and we'll get that into the right place. And then finally, this afternoon, right after the worship service, I will be conducting a discovery class, which is designed for people that want to know more about our church, and we will be meeting down in the conference room down at the end of the fellowship hall down here, and we'll order some pizza, and we'll have childcare available for you, and I'll have you out. What did I say? What did I promise? I promised 2:30. I promise 2:30, and if earlier, if possible, but we'll do that. And I've already got the Cowboys DVR. If you haven't got the Cowboys DVR, I guess you can come to my house and watch the game with me later this afternoon. So if you would turn with me to Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 15. Now, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church that he founded there in Galatia. Verse 15, we who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, don't you love that? Not Gentile sinners, know that a man is not justified by observing the law. Now that word justified, we'll talk about it a little bit more, but that word justified means to be made right. And I like to think of it this way. If you take the word justified and you break it down to kind of a little play on that name, just as if you've never sinned. So this to be justified for our sin is to be in God's eyes, to be as if we have never sinned. So that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. We too have put our faith in Christ Jesus. Now he's talking to Jews, okay? He's speaking to Jews who had always trusted the law. But he says here, we have put our faith in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. I think that bears repeating. Are you listening, church? By observing the law, no one will be justified. Skip down to verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. As we have just sung, you are welcome here. And you're welcome in us. Come and speak in power and authority and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm continuing talking about covenant today. The sermon series is entitled Covenant Keepers. And last week we talked about how covenant with God, it's initiated by God. In other words, he made the first move, not us. Did you know that we sometimes think that we put the glory on ourselves, the praise on ourselves, like, oh, well, have you accepted Christ? Yeah, I've accepted Christ. Kind of like we've done something. But no, covenant is initiated by God. He's reached out to us. He's pursued us, and he's reached out to us. And we talked a lot about the Old Testament, the Old Covenant last week. Today we shift into today's title is God's People Respond. And I want to just real quickly kind of recap that word covenant, talk about the difference between contract and covenant. Contract meaning generally made for a specific period of time, and contract is motivated by a desire to get something we want. You do this for me, I'll do something for you. Not that, and contracts are not bad. We operate with contracts all the time in our world, in our society. So contracts are not bad, but they are different than covenants. A contract also is based on an if-then mentality. If you do this, I'll do this. And so it's conditional. Now, covenant is much different. Covenant is made as a permanent commitment, not generally for a specific period of time, but a eternal permanent commitment, motivated for the benefit of the other person, and it is based on an enduring and steadfast love. In other words, when God offered covenant to us, he pursued us, and his motive was love. His motive was he wanted to be in relationship with us. Now, I know I'm going to be relating to some of the guys in here. How many of you growing up did the Indian Blood Brothers with somebody, with a buddy? Some of you girls might have done it too, but the girls thought the knives and the cuts were icky. But you know, man, I can remember it as a little boy having friends, and you're like, let's be Indian Blood Brothers, you know, like what is that? And so you'd get a knife and you know, generally it'd take you a while to get up your nerve. And you'd put a little cut on your thumb or something, and the other person would do it, and you'd press your thumbs together, and we're Indian Blood Brothers. Anybody besides me do that? Nowadays, nowadays, not so good. I probably wouldn't recommend that to anyone in the sanctuary this morning. But we don't realize, but even that playful little thing we did as children, even that ties back to this word covenant, because covenant is really, if you really look at the definition of covenant, is to cut a deal. You ever heard of let's cut a deal? That ties back to that word covenant. I'm going to just recap a little bit. We have the old covenant, and we have the new covenant. And I want us to talk just a second about the differences between those two covenants. And I think I've got a chart on this, and it's also in your handout. But the old covenant was established by animal sacrifices. In fact, I think it's in Genesis 15, there's a passage where God has said to Abraham, you know, well, the covenant that he's going to make him into a great nation, and his descendants are going to be as many as the stars are in the sky, and he's going to bless all people through this covenant and so forth. And I think it's in Genesis 15, Abraham says, how do I know that that's going to really happen? Because he was older and he was childless and thought, here, you're telling me I'm going to have all these descendants. How do I know? And back in the Old Testament time, this is kind of gross, but this is what they did. When two people made promises to one another, the way they would make covenant with one another is they would take animals and they would cut the animal in half. Now, I know that's kind of nasty and gross, but that's what happened. They would cut the animal in half, and they would separate the animal, and they would symbolically, the two of them, would walk down the middle. And then usually there were several animals that they would do this to, and they would sacrifice this animal. And they would walk down through the middle of these two animals, and that they were cutting a deal. That's where that phrase comes from. And so animal sacrifices were kind of how the covenant was established. And in Genesis 15, Abraham says, how do I know that you're really going to be good for this covenant? God told Abraham, go and take all these animals and cut them in half and set them side by side. And then he had Abraham kind of go into this kind of a have a vision, basically. And God appeared in the form of a lamp in this vision. And this God, in the form of this lamp, went and moved through the animals that had been cut in half. And that was God's way of saying, I'm confirming my covenant with you. Through this is how I'm demonstrating that. So animal sacrifices were how kind of the old covenant was established. The new covenant is established with the Lamb of God, the sacrifice of Jesus, his sacrificial death. The sign of the old covenant, the sign that someone was coming into the covenant was the sign of circumcision. We talked about that some last week, the sign of circumcision. The sign of the new covenant is baptism. Baptism. Now, we're having, in 2 weeks, I'm having my first ever, what I'm calling Baptism Sunday, and I'll talk more about that next week. But if you've accepted Christ, or if you want to accept Christ, but you've never been baptized, that's an opportunity for you to let me know, and we'll talk, and it's going to be kind of we're going to have a baptismal celebration in 2 weeks. But baptism is a sign of the new covenant. Now, people will say, well, and I want to say this is a kind of getting off onto a whole different sermon, but the way I read Scripture, baptism is not required to enter into eternal life and go to heaven. That's the way I read Scripture, and again, that's a whole sermon. But we are told by Christ to do it, just like the people, the Israelites, were told to bring their 8-day-old male child and have him circumcised, and that was the sign of the covenant that said, set that child aside and said, this one belongs to me. Baptism is a sign of the new covenant, and Jesus said, do it. So if you haven't been baptized, I encourage you to look me up, and let's talk about that. And then the old covenant was remembered by the sprinkling of blood. And this, man, I could preach all year long on the covenant, by the way. I'm trying to kind of throw a whole bunch of stuff into a small period of time here. But the Old Testament covenant, the old covenant, was remembered by sprinkling the blood. God commanded the priests to go into the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, and they would go in, they would sacrifice animals, and they would have this blood, and half of the blood was to be sprinkled on the altar, and then the other half of the blood was to be sprinkled on the people, that the remembering of the covenant. Well, what do we do here in our church? We do it once a month. We have Holy Communion, God's the body and blood of Christ. And so and what did Jesus say when he established the communion service, the Last Supper? What did he say? It's right there on the front of our altar. Do this in remembrance of me. So it's when we take the body and the blood of Christ in Eucharist or Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, there's many ways that people refer to that, Holy Communion, but it's a remembering of this covenant that we have. And so kind of summarizing, the old covenant was based on the law. Okay, God told them all this stuff to do, and then he said, the way that you remain faithful to this covenant is obey the law. Okay, obey the law. And I've told this story before, but it boggles my mind. It kind of astounds me. When we were in Israel, I think 4.5 years ago or so. And on the Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath, it starts at midnight Friday, isn't that right? Anybody, Jim, right? The Jewish Sabbath, right? 6 o'clock on Friday night. So it was Friday night or Saturday morning, and I was in the hotel, and I had gone down to get something in the lobby and was going back up to my room, and I went to this elevator, and there's a man there, a Jewish man, shining shoes, and he said, you don't want to use that elevator. And I was like, was it going to collapse or the cable going to break? What's the deal? And he said, no, it's the Sabbath. And that elevator is programmed that you can't push a button. We've got it programmed to be at the ground floor, and then it automatically opens the doors, and then it goes up to the first floor and opens the doors, then it goes up to the second floor and opens the doors, and then the third, and then the second, and then the first, second, third, And it does that all day long without anyone pushing the elevator. Because to push the elevator button was to be working on the Sabbath. And I thought to myself, holy cow, really? They're in bondage. They're in bondage to the law. Christ came to free us from that bondage. Now, you may see that differently, but I saw it. That's the way I saw it. And they had another elevator that was for Gentiles, and I got to push the button. I mean, and the whole time he's thinking, you're going to hell, but go ahead and push that, you know, number three there if you want to. Maybe he wasn't thinking that, but, you know. The new covenant, the old covenant is based on observing the law. That's how we remain faithful to the old covenant. The new covenant is by faith in Christ. By faith in Christ. Now, so I want us to talk more today about we kind of talked about the old covenant a little bit last week. I want us to move into the new covenant. The first thing is, the new covenant is not dependent on our goodness, but on Christ's mercy. Aren't you glad, church? Aren't you glad? Because I don't, you know, again, the way I read Scripture is I recall there's a verse in there that says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not just the bad ones, not just some of us, but all of us have sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. We're all, and we cannot maintain this strict adherence to the law. That was the whole thing. I mean, it says, and I may be getting ahead of myself, but it says in God's word is the law was brought forward so that it would make us conscious of our sin. That's the purpose of the law, to show us we can't do it. You know, here's the standard of perfection, and by the way, you can't do it. That was the law. No, the new covenant says that it's not dependent on our goodness, but on Christ's mercy. Galatians 2, the passage we read today, a man is not justified by observing the law. In other words, we're not made right by observing the law. And you know, even if we're not Jewish, the church, the Gentile, the Protestant church, we fall into that thinking it's about being good. I've quoted surveys to you before, but it's way up there in the 70s or low 80s that people, Christians, professing Christians, when asked, how do you get to heaven? It's 75-80% say, by leading a good life. Is that it? Is that what Scripture teaches us? No, a man is not justified by observing the law, Galatians 2 says. In Ephesians 2:9, it says, not by works. We don't get it done by works, so that no one can boast. Because, see, if we could somehow attain this level of righteousness, who would get the glory? You and I would get the glory. We can't do it, but if we somehow were able to manage it, we would receive the glory. No, it's not by works, so that no one can boast. The new covenant, the second thing, is received through faith in Christ. Not by observing the law. I really kind of hope that sinks in. If you hear anything this morning, the new covenant is not based on being good. It's based on faith in Jesus Christ. The passage we read today, a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And this is a Jew among Jews talking to Jews. And their whole life they had been told and read the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, where you adhere to the law. That's what had been drummed into them their whole life. And here all of a sudden Jesus changed the script. No, it's not about observing the law. It's about faith in Christ. Because see, Christ fulfilled the law. Galatians 2:21, again from the passage we read today. If righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. I've told you this story before, but it breaks my heart every time I think about it. I know a man that was a pastor, and he's still speaking into the lives of young people. And it breaks my heart when I think about the conversation I had with him. And as he was talking to me, I was like, I mean, we were having a deep theological discussion about faith and about Christ and so on and so forth. And it sounded like he was telling me that everyone's going to heaven. Doesn't really matter. I mean, you can be, you know, Charlie Manson or whoever you want to be, Hitler, you know, and you're in heaven. Because Christ, you know, said that you're going to be in heaven. And I was like, as I was talking to him, I said, it sounds like you're saying that we're all going to just, we all go to heaven. Is that what you're saying? And without hesitation, he said, yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I said, what do we do with the cross? What do we do with the cross? You know, I don't know about you, but it breaks my heart that Jesus had to take nails for me. It breaks my heart that he got whipped and beat and spat upon and disrespected and betrayed and nailed to a brutal cross. That means something to me. That's what I'm telling you. It means something to me. And his response was, I'm not sure the cross happened. This thinking is out there, church. It's out there in the church. I want to tell you, if you hear that kind of stuff coming from me, from this pulpit, you got my, just shoot me. I'm serious. Just shoot me. Do something with me. Tar and feather me. Do something. Get me out. We've got covenant with Christ because of his sacrificial death. Because we place faith in what he accomplished on our behalf. Shake your head if you believe that. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourself. It is a gift of God. The gift of God looks ugly. It's brutal. It's shaped like a cross. It's not a pretty picture. When we take this meal that we take once a month, that was not a happy place. We come in brokenness. We come in repentance. And we live in joy because of that. It's a gift, and it was a costly gift. The new covenant is based on faith in Jesus Christ. Number three, the new covenant is proved genuine by us by action. It's proved genuine by action. We don't, you know, our good deeds don't somehow win us favor with God, but it proves our faith genuine. When we love others on behalf of Christ, it proves our faith genuine. I tell people all the time, and our community group was talking this week, we're going to be talking more about doing a service project out of our community group. And I said, you know, look, whatever we do, it's not going to be about that. If we go and work at the food pantry, if we go and we pass out turkeys in 2 weeks, or if we go and help patch a roof, or if we paint a house or do any of those things, it's not about that. It's about showing the love of Christ on his behalf. And it proves our faith genuine. The new covenant is proved genuine by action. James put it this way, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. But see, it's so easy to get, when we begin to serve on Christ's behalf, it's so easy to cross over and somehow think that's what it's about. That's where I was when I was 30. I thought being a Christian was about being good, being a good person, going to church, serving him, doing those kind of, I thought that's what it was. No, and then suddenly I realized, no, it's about a God who loved me enough to die for me. And that rocked my world and changed everything that I knew. Everything about me was transformed in that moment when I got that. Hopefully my actions have been even more abundant in serving Christ since that day and for the right reasons. Fourth thing, the new covenant gives us personal access to God. Now, if you have family members that are Catholic and you raised in the Catholic Church, this is not a Catholic bashing statement, but it's just a difference in what I believe and what the Catholic Church teaches is, you have to go to a priest in the Catholic Church and have confession and they make intercession on your behalf, ask for forgiveness on your behalf. I differ greatly from that. The way I read God's Word and what I see is that Jesus is our high priest. He makes intercession for us. And so I have direct access to Him. You don't have to come to me, church. You don't have to come to me. You can just get on your knees beside your bed and just say, Jesus, I'm here. And I'm sorry for the man or the woman that I've been. We have direct personal access to God through Jesus. Now, the book of Hebrews, if you want to learn more about that, read the book of Hebrews. Because it just talks about that so much. But let me just read one little excerpt from Hebrews 10. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the Most High place, and he's talking about this Holy of Holies where the Jewish priests were the only ones that could go in there, and they had to go through all this purification rites and so on and so forth, and they would enter through the sacrificial blood of the animals, and they would enter into the Holy of Holies. And it says, since we have confidence, meaning those in Christ, since we have confidence to enter the Most High place, how? By the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. Now, if you'll read the accounts in the Gospels of the crucifixion, when Jesus died, it says that there was an earthquake and that the temple curtain ripped. Anybody remember reading that? The temple curtain that divided, where you entered into the Holy of Holies, the temple curtain that only the high priest could go into, the curtain ripped. What was going on there? Why is that important? Because Jesus, through his sacrificial death, by the blood of Jesus, now that curtain is opened to all of us. Open for us through the curtain, that is his body. His body was broken. It opened the curtain for us. And since we have a great high priest, now speaking of Jesus, over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts, here it is again, sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. So this curtain ripped. Christ, through the blood of Christ, we now have direct access with God the Father. And later, if we keep reading in Scripture, it tells us that not only can we go to God and have access to Him, but He comes to us in the form of the Holy Spirit. He comes and makes His home in us. Aren't you glad we have a new covenant? Aren't you glad we're not sitting in front of the elevator when I want to go to floor 3 and I've got to go through the other floors to get there? Aren't you glad? And when I'm on the third floor and I got to go to 2 and 1 to get down to the lobby, aren't you glad? And that's just a silly example, but man, we're not bound to the law any longer. So the title of today's sermon was God's People Respond, and here's how we respond to the new covenant. In faith. In faith. Trust in Christ. Trust who He is. Trust what He's done on your behalf. Trust what's been accomplished. In faith. That doesn't let us off the hook and say, oh, but now the party's on. I can do whatever I want to do. No. Now our actions begin to even more so reflect the faith that we have in Christ. Our actions prove our faith genuine. I'll just say this. I said it a few weeks ago in a different sermon, but most people that come to church, that come to Christ, did so because of another Christian. Did you know that? They come to church. How many of you here, the first time, you may have been raised in the church, and that's okay too, but because you can count that because your parents invited you to church. Maybe they said, you're going. Maybe that was the invitation. But how many of you came into a church the first time because of parents bringing you or a friend inviting you, something like that? Raise your hand. most of us, maybe close to all of us. So people come into church and they come into faith in Christ because of another believer. You know what else? What also is true? People who stay out of church and don't become a Christian do so because of another Christian. Did you know that? You know what's the difference? Genuine, authentic faith. People can tell. If I tell you I'm a pro golfer, all you got to do is go out and play around with me. And you're going to go, I don't think so, big guy. Our faith is proved genuine by action. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you purchased the new covenant on our behalf. The new covenant is established in your body and your blood. Father, if there's any this morning that just maybe now their hearts and their minds are being opened for the very first time, perhaps, it's not about being good. It's about that you're good. If that's somebody this morning, if everybody's head bowed, if that's you this morning, for the very first time you realize that it's about faith and you want that, just raise your hand this morning. With every eye closed. Amen. Amen. Lower your hands. If that was you this morning, if you raised your hand, come and talk with me. Walking with Christ is the great adventure of our life. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that we are justified by faith in you. We're made right by faith in you. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit. May we respond in faith. And may our faith be proved genuine by our actions. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand as we close this morning. If you raised your hand this morning, please come and seek me out. It doesn't have to be while we're singing this last song. It can be afterwards. Just come and seek me out so we can visit.
What can we say to describe just a glimpse of your glory? How can our words portray but a thread of your majesty? But still we praise our Savior in spirit and in truth, for we cannot say enough about. What can we say to describe just a glimpse of your glory? How can our words portray but a thread of your majesty? But still we praise our Savior in spirit and in truth, for we cannot say enough about you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. but still we praise our Savior in spirit and in truth. For we cannot say enough about you, but still we praise. But still we praise our Savior in spirit and in truth. For we cannot say enough.
We cannot say.
For we cannot say enough. Lord, we cannot say enough about you.
Just a reminder of the discovery class that's going to be taking place in the conference room down at the end of the fellowship hall. I got you out a little bit early today. Anybody say amen? And so about 5 minutes till 12, if you're going to the discovery class, that's about 10 minutes, give you 10 minutes to kind of greet one another and go to the restroom, whatever you, and then meet down there about 5 till. It is by grace you've been saved. Through what? Through faith. Go and tell somebody in Jesus' name.
But still we praise our Savior in spirit and in truth. For we cannot say enough.
Cannot say.
For we cannot say enough. For we cannot say enough about.